is going to be the passage for this evening. Mark, the Gospel, wrote according to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, when he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart, in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorify God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let us pray. Father, show us Christ through the preach of your word. That's my prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in Brazil, there is a holiday called Bible Day. I don't know if that is here as well, which is celebrated to show gratitude to God for granting access His word to His word. There's many biblical societies in Brazil that participate in this festival by present reports. In that year, when I was younger, some people reported being grateful for having access to the Bible in their own language. One of them was blind and expressed gratitude for the production of the Braille Bible. Braille? Braille? Braille. When I said that word, you know what I mean, right? Which gave them access to the Word of God. On that particular day, his statement caught my attention. That person expressed their happiness in being able to access the Bible in Braille. Although he was blind, and he said at that day that he could see Jesus through the Bible, through the Braille Bible. That shocked me. Like, That guy, he's blind, but he can see Jesus through the Bible. Brothers and sisters, after preaching in various synagogues across Galilee, Jesus returned to Capernaum and spent some time in prayer. The word of God spread, and he was staying at Simon and Andrew's house, where he had been before during his time in Capernaum. And straight away, many were gathering together for all parts of the city. There was no room to receive them in the house by which it should seem to be a large one, though not large enough to hold such a numerous company as were got together. Not so much as about the door or place before the door. The crowd was so great that neither the house, the out place before, could hold them. Nor could they come even near to the door. Jesus preached the word unto them. He preached the gospel, the word of grace and truth, of life and salvation, to as many as could come near him and were within the ear of him. But suddenly a man who was brought to Jesus by his friends, because he was very sick, he was paralytic. Some scholars said that he had a disease called palsy, which made him very weak. He couldn't walk or move on his own. His friends carried him on a bed to Jesus. This man's disease was very serious and could not be cured by medicine. He had lost his ability to move and probably feel things because of his disease. This man might represent a sinner who is unaware of their true situation and needs help to come to Jesus for salvation. It is important for people who believe, brothers and sisters, it is important for people who believe in Jesus to help others who are not yet saved to come to Jesus and receive forgiveness of their sins. This man's conditions is like that of a sinner in a natural state who is unaware of their sinful state. The severity of sin and the danger and misery they face along with their lost and hopeless situation. They need spiritual life to come to Christ for salvation. But without, they cannot act righteously. The man's friends and their relatives took him to Jesus, hoping that he could give him a physical cure, even though he did not ask for healing. The friends and relatives of unbeliever people who have received the grace of God should help bring them under the means of grace, the preacher of the word, so that they can realize their sins and experience forgiveness like this man. Even though there may be difficulties in accomplishing this, brothers and sisters, as was in that case with this man, it is still necessary to help them. If you look at the verse 4, chapter 2, the crowd around the room where Jesus was gathering was so big, so massive, that no one could come near, or could they even reach the door. Some people uncovered the roof of the house to gain access. It is possible that this was a lower class house without an upper room, and the sick man was lowered through the roof onto the ground floor where Jesus was preaching. However, the fact that Jesus Christ was preaching to the people at or near the door implies that there was an upper room where he could have preached more comfortably from a window. Therefore, it is reasonable to assume that there was an upper room where Christ was preaching. Verse 5, Jesus said, the Bible said, when Jesus saw their faith, the sick man and his friend believed that Jesus could cure him as they could reach Christ. And Jesus said to the sick man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus, at that moment, pointed and striking at the root of his real problem, that is, his sins. But Christ calls him son. In this afflicted condition, a person may be a child of God, and yet greatly afflicted by him. Afflictions are not, brothers and sisters, argument against, but rather for sonship according to Hebrews 12, verse 6. He calls him a son. Though a sinful creature, and who had not yet, until these words were spoken by Christ, any discovering, any application of forgiveness, grace unto him. He was a son of God by divine predestination, being predestinated to the adoption of children. He was a son by virtue of the covenant of grace. He was interested in, as appears by his enjoy, forgiveness of sin, a blessing of it, which runs, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, "I will be their father, and they shall be my sons and daughters." That man was one of the children which were given to Christ, as in such a relation, and for the sake of whom Christ was now a partaker of flesh and blood, and a little time was to die for them, in order to gather them together who were carried abroad. The blessed Christ, conferring on this room, on this poor man, is one of the greatest consequences and importance, that is forgiveness of sin. That's our greatest necessity. We need forgiveness, and only God can do that. It is the spring for the grace and the mercy of God. It is provided in the promises, in the covenant of grace. Christ was sent to shed his blood to get it in a way consistent with the holiness and justice of God. And this being done, it is published in the gospel, and is a most considerably in that which nothing can be more desirable to a sensibly sinner. And blessed are they that are partakers of it. Their sins will never be imputed to them. They will never be remembered more. They are blot out the God's book of debts. They are covered out of his sight and are removed as far as the east is from the west. Even all their sins, original and actual, secret or open, or omission or commission. Let us see the verse 6, chapter 2. The Bible says, there is someone in there, some people, There are certain scribes, religion people sitting there. And they watch and observe what Jesus said. And they reasoning in their hearts upon the above words of Christ, and they said, why this man speak like that or in other verse and blasphemies? They took Christ Jesus, the Son of God, as a mere man and reasoning with themselves that he must be a blasphemer and assume that to himself, which was peculiar to God, they seemed astonished and at his words and to be filled with indignation at him, saying, who can forgive sin but God alone, but God only? And for this and other situation, they reject Christ Jesus as a messenger. And in some sense, they were right in saying that. Because only God could forgive and see. Only God has the power to forgive sins. But the wrong is charge Christ with blasphemy on this accounting. Because He, Christ Jesus, He is truly God as well as man in His omission, omniscience and omnipotence. No creature, brothers and sisters, can forgive and sin. No one has this kind of power. Of course, good men may ought to forgive one another, even their very enemies, but then they can only forgive sin as an injuring or offensive done to themselves, not as committed against God. The minister, for example, the gospel, they might said by preaching the doctrine of forgiveness, declaring that such as believe in Christ shall receive the remission of sins. But for any man to assume such a power to himself as to forgive from sins is Antichrist, in which he takes to himself, which is peculiar to God. Nor can any man obtain the forgiveness of sins by anything he has or can do, not by his riches, which will not profit in a day of wrath, they being not a sufficient ransom price for a man's self or any of his brethren and friends, nor by his repentance for through this and remission of sins. Go together in grace and experience, yet repentance is not the cause of remissions of sins, but rather the effect of remissions applied. By his faith, for faith does not secure it, brothers and sisters, but receive this blessing, as much less by God, good works. For then the forgiveness of sins would not be according to the riches of grace, and a man would be saved by his works, since a principal part of salvation lies in pardon of sin. And besides, the blood of Christ would be shed in vain. That God, only God, can forgive and sin is evident, brothers and sisters, because it is against Him and He only that men sin, against God. We sinned against God. Sin is a transgression of His law, the God's law, contrary to His nature, contrary to His will, is a kind of affront to His just and holiness, who is the Lord giver, that is able to save and to destroy. It is one of the nature of the debt which He only can lose from. Moreover, if anyone besides Himself could forgive and sin, He would have one equal with Him, and like unto him. Like, this is a right peculiar to him, brothers and sisters, which he challenged to himself. But then this is common to all the three divine persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Father, he has prepared this grace in his own heart for the move cause of it. In his sovereign grace and mercy, he has promised and secured in the covenant of grace. He set forth and sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, to obtain it by the shedding of his blood, that his just might be satisfied. And it is for Christ's sake he forgives all trespasses. The Son of God is the concern in it. As man, Jesus Christ, his blood was shed for us. And that being the blood, not a mere man, not a normal man, not a philosophical guy, an example for all people. He was the Savior, Son of God. That is God, fully man. It was effectual to that purpose. And it is in his name that is preached. And he is exalted as a Savior to give it. And the Holy Spirit, that he makes men, call men to see, to notice they are needed. And he shows to them the blood of Christ, his sacrifice at the cross. But when they said that, Jesus Christ perceived in his spirit, say, the Bible says his own spirit, that means his divine nature. Because Jesus Christ, the second person of Trinity, he knew all things, even the most secret thoughts of men's hearts. And as soon as ever above thoughts were conceived in the minds of the scribes and the Pharisees, they were perceived by him and told to them they so reasoned within themselves. And he said unto them, why reason these things in your heart? Jesus reproved them, not for reason and conclude in their own minds that none but God can forgive his sin, but for imputing blasphemy to him, for pronouncing this man his pardon, he being God as well man, of which his knowing the thoughts of their minds might have been a convincing proof. And Christ asked the people whether it was easier to say to the sick, which would prove his divinity and clear himself of blasphemy. Because only a divine person could perform either task to the one was easier as to other. Although, brothers and sisters, it is difficult to determine which task is the greatest proof of his divinity. Forgive a sinner might be the greatest evidence of the divine power and goodness. It is definitely a greater blessing than being cured. However, curing that man, like Jesus did, in a visible and undeniable manner, was a more tangible proof of his divinity to the scribes and the Pharisees than pronounce a man's sins forgiven. By witness their healing with their own eyes, they would not doubt the reality of the forgiveness. But they might not know the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who was really man and the truth and the true Messiah. In which sense this phrase had been used in the many passages of the Old Testament. And this emphasis, the Son of Man, suggests that his being so was no contradiction to his divinity or any difficult to application of his power. So there is another on those words, upper earth, intimacy, that though he was upon earth, He was up upon earth in a very slow state, humiliated when he became flesh. Yet he had the same power to forgive sins as in heaven. His humbling himself in a nature, in a human nature, did not strip him of his perfections, power, and prerogative as God. And if he had power on earth to forgive sin, there can be no room to doubt of it now he is in heaven. Since as mediator, and now as the Bible says, exhorted to be a prince and a savior to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 31. It might be appear he had such a power on earth, and he said to the sick man, I say to you, arise and pick up your bed and go home. And immediately the man rose, took his bed in which he was, direct for his house. Face that, brothers and sisters. And immediately he arose, power going along with the words of Christ. He found himself perfectly well. That man took his bed upon his shoulders with all that is immeasurable and went forth before them all, the scribes and the Pharisees and the whole people there who were eyewitness of this wonderful wonders. And he made his way through the crowd, that man. The people witnessed an extraordinary event that they knew could not have been accomplished by a mere mortal. They were convinced that he was a supernatural and edible attribute to God. They acknowledged his greatness and celebrated his power and goodness, according to verse 12, which were clearly evident in this instance. They praised him and expressed their gratitude for this incredible healing, which was done by Christ, whom they considered to be a just man. However, they failed, those people, to recognize that Christ's ability to perform such a miracle indicated that he was God. This group of people who glorified God and showed gratitude for his kindness to humanity was not the same as the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees who had accused Christ of blasphemy barely acknowledged that his miracles were from God, or that Christ performed them through divine power. Instead, they tend to attribute Christ's miracles to a diabolical influence. They never praised God or expressed gratitude for anything that Christ had done. They frequently left after witnessing a miracle, haughty and full of malice, conspiring on how to take his life. However, this group of people was different. The last one in verse 12. They were the multitude, as Matthew described, who followed Christ from place to place and highly believed in him as the great a good man. Although they did not believe in Christ as the Messiah or recognize him as the Son of God, they still acknowledge his abilities and appreciate his message. In other words, they had eyes to see the miracles, but they did not have eyes to see the one who was the incarnated Son of God, the Savior of the world, who promised the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ. As John in his gospel said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the Son from the Father. The only Son from the Father. Full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Brothers and sisters, may God help us to see what the human eyes cannot see, and give us the new heart to understand what the human wisdom cannot understand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to understand how marvelous was what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.